Hi, I'm Justin Boyd.
And I'm one with the Force. And we are the Watchers in the Basement.
Welcome to the Watchers in the Basement. Today we are here to discuss Ahsoka, the Disney Plus series. It's not clear whether it's a one-off season or if it's going to be there's going to be a second season. I feel like there's probably going to be a second season given what happened. But So we're here to talk about Ahsoka. And before I get Brittany's thoughts on the series or the season, I should say, I want to hit you with some Ahsoka facts. Ahsoka was an 8-episode season on Disney Plus. It's of course a Star Wars series. It premiered August 22nd. The finale aired on October 3rd. It was created and written by Dave Filoni. Again, it's a Star Wars franchise, as I'm sure you know if you're watching this. It's a spinoff of the Mandalorian series, which all of that stuff takes place after Return of the Jedi. And I'm going to get into the timeline here in a second. But I mean, because it is kind of like with all the Star Wars content we've gotten from Disney Plus the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, they're kind of bouncing all around the timeline. So we'll talk about that in a second. But the character Ahsoka was created for the animated Star Wars series, The Clone Wars, which I did not watch. Brittany, did you watch that show?
Not the Clone Wars series, no. I did actually watch the movie recently, the animated movie.
Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, I love Star Wars. I love the original Star Wars. I even like Episode 1, which is very questionable amongst a lot of people, and they'll probably question me and my sanity and my credibility. Hey, it's fine, whatever. But with the animation stuff and a lot of the spinoff stuff prior to Disney acquiring Star Wars, I haven't really delved into it. So like the Clone Wars animation series as well as Rebels, have not seen either one. So I'm one of those that's like a quote unquote fake fan because I haven't watched everything Star Wars. Ayo to my brother, Mike, who's in the chat. I figured you'd be here. So you can probably shed a lot of light on what we don't know. And that's okay.
Light or dark, you know, like, right? Cool. Either side of the Force is don't say Sith.
Yeah, don't say Sith.
Don't say Sith, yeah. That should be a t-shirt, don't say Sith.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to make that. That's going to be awesome. I'm going to make that.
So Ahsoka was created for the animated series, The Clone Wars, which began in 2008. And that character continued in another animated show, Rebels, which I also have not watched Rebels. So, you know, obviously I think Rebels would have been a nice primer for watching this show, considering all the characters from Rebels are in this show. Mm-hmm. But again, that was an animated show. And so now I'll get to the timeline, because this is where it gets kind of confusing. So Ahsoka began in the Clone Wars. Clone Wars took place before Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. Then Rebels took place after the Obi-Wan Kenobi series, which, you know, takes place before Andor and Rogue One, and of course before episode 4, A New Hope. And then you have the fact that this show continues the story that was established in Rebels. Rebels takes place after The Mandalorian and The Book of Boba Fett, which are set about 5 years after the Return of the Jedi. So it's kind of tricky to like know all the points on the map. I'm just a fan of the original trilogy. Like, I love those movies. And
yeah, and I actually, Justin, as you were talking, I was trying to find that graphic that I found of the timeline, because it's not like convoluted necessarily. It's just there's a lot to go over. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share it here for those who are watching on YouTube live stream. I'm about to show y'all a Star Wars timeline in chronological order, courtesy of Reddit. Thank you. I'm not going to take any credit for it because I'm just not. And those who are listening on the audio podcast, be sure to head over to YouTube, subscribe if you haven't, and also check out the timeline I'm about to share. So here we go. So Age of the Republic starts off with episode 1, 2, 3, and in between or during same time as 2 and 3, that's where we have Clone Wars. Then you'll get Bad Batch. This is also incorporating not just animated shows, but as well as live action shows and some video games. So yeah, there's a lot of content that Justin, you and I may not be entirely familiar with just because we're not as dedicated to this like a lot of other people are. But I still think this is a really decent timeline to help kind of fill in the blanks as to what we're going to be talking about and so on and so forth.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So yeah,
before A New Hope, that is staggering.
That's wild, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
So much going on now, like movies that we've seen, I know for a fact, are Solo, A Star Wars Story. We did watch Obi-Wan Kenobi. Mm-hmm. We're not doing a review on that because damn.
Well, we talked about Obi-Wan.
Very, very brief.
No, we did a season review of it. Yeah.
Did we?
We did. I'm pretty sure we did.
I don't think we did. I think we decided we weren't going to. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But Andor. Now, Justin, I know you haven't watched Andor yet. It's actually pretty good. It's a slow burn, but it is actually really, really good. And, of course, Rogue One, I think, is arguably one of the better, like, Star Wars stories because how it feeds directly into Star Wars A New Hope, which begins the Age of the Rebellion, is well pieced together. And these are the three movies that I know you're a huge fan of. Yeah. A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. I mean, those are the original. Those are classics. Don't touch them, Disney. Do not consider ever remaking them. I will riot.
Yeah. And I'm pretty familiar with the video games. Like I've played a lot of these games that are showing up on here. My brother has them and him and his sons, they love those games. So I've either played those games a little bit or I've seen people play those games in front of me. So, I'm more familiar with the video games. I haven't watched really any of the animated stuff.
Same.
Yeah. So.
So yeah, but here's kind of the.
Go ahead.
Yeah, here's the area that we're in right now. Post Return of the Jedi, we got two games: Battlefront 2, Squadrons, and then the Disney Plus series that we're familiar with now are Mandalorian, The Book of Boba Fett, and Ahsoka, which are all happening within the same timeline. We've seen, you know, crossovers from one to another, except Mandalorian nor. Boba Fett did not make an appearance here in Ahsoka, which I thought was kind of interesting.
But Ahsoka did begin, her live action debut came in season 2 of The Mandalorian. So
that is very true. Yes.
And this grouping of shows, I'm glad to have this graphic. This is really handy because this grouping of shows is considered, it's called the Mandoverse or the Filoniverse because they're all Dave Filoni, you know, shows, you know, Dave Filoni and, oh my gosh, Happy Hogan from, what's his name? John Favreau.
Yeah.
That's their content, which will lead to a Filoniverse movie. I'm not sure when that's going to happen. I think maybe 2027. I'm not sure. We'll see about that. But
I mean, the writer's strike has ended, so we'll see.
The actor's strike hasn't, though. But yeah, but I think it will probably in the next month or so. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff probably before that happens anyway. So
yeah, for sure.
Just to give you
for
a heads up. Let me get to the cast. Of course, Rosario Dawson plays the main character Ahsoka, and the rest of the cast reads like this: Natasha Liu Bordizzo, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Ray Stevenson, Ivana Sackno, Diana Lee in Sonato, David Tennant, Amon Esfandi, Hayden Christensen, Lars Mikkelsen, and Anthony Daniels. Brittany, what'd you think overall of the eight episode season of Ahsoka?
Given that I did not watch Clone Wars, the animated series, like I said, I recently just saw the movie, which was pretty much that introduction between Ahsoka and Anakin. At best, it was mid for me because I don't have that background like many others do with watching Clone Wars and Rebels and really have gotten to know Ahsoka. Now, what little I did notice with the older or adult version of Ahsoka compared to that of the animated series, the performance is very deadpan. Like I was not really captured to stay with the character, which was really sad because I love Rosario Dawson as an actress. It's just like, I didn't understand why in that very first episode, there was no speaking, no sound really for like the first 5 minutes. And I'm like, this is not good.
Like, there's a lot of quiet moments.
Yeah. And it didn't hit with me because compared to now, granted, Ahsoka is much younger. in the movie when she first meets Anakin and eventually becomes her Padawan or his Padawan, she's spunky. Like, the reason she's called Snips is because she, like, you know, talks back to Anakin. Mm-hmm. You know, she's a force to be reckoned with, no pun intended. But, like, she's got a lot of personality to her in that movie. And I just wasn't seeing that even at the end of this season. I was just like, okay, so she's talking a little bit more. Cool. But, like, she's not that captivating. What were your thoughts?
No, I agree with you. I thought that not only Ahsoka, but I think all the characters kind of lacked personality. You know, it seemed like the character that Ray Stevenson played, I thought that character was actually, was well played and was kind of interesting. I'm not totally sure what the plans are for that character going forward. Obviously, Ray Stevenson died after this was filmed, and so he, of course, won't be in a season two or anything else going forward. So I wonder what they're going to recast, or honestly, I'm not really sure what that character's end game was going to be. But outside of that, you're right. Deadpan is kind of the best way to put it. Like, all the characters, they lacked emotion. You know, you're bringing these characters, they're being reunited after what happened in the Rebels series, from what I understand. And they don't even act like it's a big deal that they're being reunited. Like, you know, I don't know. It was very strange to watch, because I felt like they needed more emotion, more personality. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is something you told me, because you actually, you were watching the series before I was. You know, the first three episodes are pretty slow, and like we said before, there's these stretches of really quiet moments. Like, I mean, we're talking about 4 or 5 minutes of like very little music and just Ahsoka looking for a map or whatever in that map mm-hmm. room or whatever that part was.
Yeah.
And I remember I watched it one day after work, and I was like, I wasn't bored, but I was like, man, this could put me to sleep very easily, because it was it was almost did they forget to add the music or add something to it? Cause it was just so quiet.
Did they forget to write a script for this?
Right. But
ordeal.
The show did pick up. You're right. Starting with episode 4,
yeah.
I thought episode 4, 5, and 6 were pretty strong, which I think is kind of funny considering the best movies are episode 4, 5, and 6.
But, not a coincidence.
Yeah, maybe not. but all in all, I agree with you. I think it was just okay. And I think, the people who watched Clone Wars and Rebels, I'm sure they have a way different perspective, because
I mean,
these characters brought, to live action to the screen.
Right.
I think me and you, I think we're in the same boat, because we didn't watch these shows, and I don't think this show, I do think this show was much better than Obi-Wan.
Oh, hands down.
I just don't think it was to me, it just feels like the Disney Plus, kind of the same way what the MCU is on Disney Plus. I think the MCU stuff is way better than the Star Wars stuff on Disney Plus, but
sure.
It's just not, it just doesn't grab me,
Yeah, and Mike here says Ahsoka was hands down the best modern day Star Wars live action content to date. And that's great. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I know that you have a better background and understanding of Ahsoka and what she how she played a role in Anakin becoming a better Jedi. And I'm reading the comment here. Ahsoka was assigned to him, Anakin, as a Padawan. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Basically to train Anakin to become a better Jedi. She really helped him grow up and become more compassionate. And that's a struggle that we see Ahsoka face in the show because of what Anakin became.
Right.
And this is why, out of the whole season, I'm going to say season because, again, I'm pretty sure based on the cliffhangers, quote unquote, that we're going to get a second season eventually. But episode 5 was really, really cool because we're getting the flashbacks, or not, maybe I guess you can say flashbacks, but mm-hmm. you're getting to see a younger Ahsoka when she was Anakin's Padawan, and seeing them together, seeing the little back and forth of how they talk to one another. But then you're seeing that side of Anakin who's starting to exhibit, the dark side. Right.
Right.
And he says a line to her that really, I'm pretty sure is what has shaped her to be that sort of deadpan sort of individual of, everything the master is, the Padawan is as well, or something along those lines, right? In other words, is she destined to be exactly like Anakin because he turned to the dark side? And that's the struggle that she faces, right? And this that episode was really cool because she sees Anakin. They're in the world between worlds, which I know nothing about. I know that's something that was referenced, I think, in Rebels. I think it's Rebels because Ezra was in the world between worlds. So to see that, that was cool. To see Hayden Christensen be Anakin once again was a treat. But the flashes between him walking with the saber and you're seeing that quick flash of a silhouette of Vader. It's just like, this is so cool. Like, this is just so badass. But you also see Ahsoka kind of channel a little bit of the dark side too. Mm-hmm. And for her to ultimately make a decision of, I choose life, meaning she's not going to choose the path that Anakin took. Right. She's wanting to come back, be reborn, if you will, and become Ahsoka the White. I mean, that's how we kind of dub it, right? I think the internet's pretty much dubbed her rebirth as now becoming Ahsoka the White, much like, you know, Gandalf becoming Gandalf the White instead of the Gray.
Right.
So, yeah, she had to come to terms with some things. She had to face, I guess, her worst fears. And yeah, she, I guess, is a better Jedi because of it. You know, she chose the light as opposed to choosing the dark.
Yeah, I do. But here's something I think I noticed about the show, and I want to get your thoughts on this. You know, for a show called Ahsoka, did she feel like the main character for like, especially like, you know, like the last couple episodes? I feel like it was more of an ensemble show.
Yes.
Across the board.
Yeah, I think especially too, because you're building up to the villain.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't get to meet Thrawn until what was it, episode?
I think it was episode 5 or 6. I have it in my
notes. I think it was episode six. Yeah. It was almost like
episode 6, yeah.
Pretty much like 3/4 of the way
right
done with the season. And it's like we're barely going to meet. I say meet because again, I didn't watch the animated shows, but we're going to encounter the villain, which is not someone who's like Dooku or Palpatine. He's just like a guy who apparently has a brilliant military mind and is a force to be reckoned with, you know, but he's been banished and the bad people are trying to get their way to him and try to relieve him from exile and what have you. By the way, Lars Mikkelsen, absolutely love that man. I love that the Mikkelsen brothers now have both, well, not now, but when Mads was in Rogue One, at that point, both Mikkelsens have been part of the Star Wars universe, which is pretty cool, in my opinion. But because I believe Lars Mikkelsen voiced Thrawn in the animated series. Yep. So that was really cool to keep with the same actor, bring him to life, literally. And I think the last thing he said to Ahsoka before they jumped into hyperspace about knowing who her master was and, you know, basically not underestimating her. And he feels like she's going to go down the same path as Anakin. So that little bit of a threat was a little thrilling. I think that was kind of cool. You know,
I think the casting was on point. You know, I don't think there was any problems with the cast.
Yeah,
it was more of just, you know, the fact that they just kind of lacked it feels like all these Disney Plus shows where they just like they have too many episodes and they should like, you know, focus on, you know, instead of having 8 episodes, maybe have 5 or 6, you know, like, and then have a tighter story. And then you can really expound upon the key characters.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I know a lot of people were kind of like not bummed out, but just kind of with Sabine, for example. She didn't have the same look as she did from the animated series. She had like the short cropped, you know, white hair. In this show, we see her with like purple and red sort of ombre. And I learned a lot about Sabine. I feel like this probably should have been more about Sabine than Ahsoka, right?
Yeah.
it was interesting to learn that, you know, she is Mandalorian. We're very familiar with Mandalorians at this point.
Right. Yeah.
She was being trained as a Jedi by Ahsoka and they parted ways. And according to Hu Yang, by the way, these droids in this show, I think had the most personality than the live action actors.
Yeah.
So Hu Yang, who's played by David Tennant, basically said to Sabine, you are the least force sensitive person I have ever met. I'm like, damn, that is it's quite a stab, you know?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like it was a lot of following Sabine and like her reason to join up with Ahsoka and to find Ezra because she felt some type of way about, I guess, what had happened to Ezra. You know, it was believed that he was dead, but he really wasn't. He was also in exile, quote unquote, as Thrawn was at that same planet. I think it should have been called Sabine as opposed to Ahsoka. You know, that's just my opinion about that. But, you know, it is what it is. But so real quick here in the chat, Mike says that Ahsoka was in denial that Anakin became Darth Vader. Then once she realized the truth, they ended up fighting each other and she nearly killed him. That is insane because I think Anakin is supposed to be revered as like one of the best swordsmen amongst all Jedis,
right?
You know, and that's just wild to me. Mike continues saying, Ahsoka was falsely accused of murder and she basically felt that the Jedi Order had turned their back on her. So she walked away never to return. Now I did know that. I did know about that. So it was really curious that she even continued with what little training she did with Grogu from The Mandalorian, right? If she felt some type of way about the Order. So Mike says, so as many times as we say she's Jedi, she is not. Okay. But she still uses the Force and she still uses lightsabers.
Well, it's kind of like Ray Stevenson's character, right? He was a former Jedi, right?
Right. Yeah.
Baylon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you saw it, Justin, the meme. People are trying to say that Baylan Skull is the little boy that went up to Anakin during like the purge, Order 66 was executed, and saying,
okay,
Master Skywalker, there's so many of them. What do we do? And I'm like, I don't think yeah, that would work out because Ray Stevenson looks so much older than Ahsoka.
Yeah.
But this is also not knowing about Ahsoka and like her species and like how they age and that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Because she was older when Clone Wars, Rebels, and you know all that was going on. So I don't believe in that meme. What do you think?
No, I don't think so. I think that, I mean, obviously, like A New Hope, Empire, and Return of the Jedi, all that stuff happens within like a 2-year period, I believe, or maybe even less. So if you think about the timeline, you know, Obi-Wan is set like 8 years before A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just kind of do the math, like obviously this Baylan Skull character is going to be, he wouldn't be a little kid.
Yeah. You
know, 20 years ago. So yeah.
Right. Yeah. It was just interesting to me to kind of see what people were coming up with regards to any connection to like the prequels. So Mike in the chat is saying that she, I believe he's referring to Ahsoka, can live up to 200. Is insane. In the series, she's about 45. So
okay,
what's up, Justin? Y'all are close in age.
Yeah, not too far off. Yeah.
And then that Sabine Wren is a descendant of House Vizsla, which I think is very close to that of Bo-Katan Kreese, because, you know, again, Mandalorian, which was the house of the only Jedi that was ever a Mandalorian, and he created the Darksaber. We're familiar with the Darksaber from The Mandalorian. Yes.
Yeah.
So whoever has the Darksaber leads the Mandalorians, or Mandalore. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, Sabine, I think like her being a, you know, a Mandalorian and also like having, you know, the Force, like it, to me, it was just kind of like a little bit too much for that character, you know, like.
Can we talk about that? Because
yeah, go ahead.
Hu Yang said Sabine was the least Force sensitive person he's ever encountered. Right. He's been around for a long time. He's trained many people in the Jedi arts and whatnot, helps Padawans learn how to make their own sabers, which I think is super cool. And then at one point, Sabine is able to, you know, use the Force to get her lightsaber from the floor as she's being, like, you know, strangled
right.
to death, right? So I get it. Like, in a dire need, you're going to channel, tap into the Force and be able to, you know, get your saber and cut off the head and do whatever you got to do. But then, like, 5 minutes later, she's able to throw Ezra off a freaking platform and onto a spaceship. I mean, granted, he did, like, a Force jump or whatever.
Right.
But now she's able to, like, just push him off a canyon and, like, he lands it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, no. I saw people online refer to it as the Force alley-oop. That's kind of funny.
That's pretty good. I like that. Oh man, I don't know. I just like it would have been more believable if Ezra just like jumped and then she tried to use the Force and he just fell.
Yeah,
and died. That would have been a lot more believable.
After they're reunited, and they're just like, "Hey, what's up?" Like, it wasn't like even a big deal. It seemed like it was such a weird. But then they were talking about how they were searching for him, you know, for since the Rebels series. I think one of the problems I had with Sabine, and this is obviously not her fault, but she used the green lightsaber. And I know there have been other Jedi that have used green lightsabers, but like,
it's not earmarked.
That's Luke's, you know, like, I think like, to me, I feel like they should have made like a hard and fast rule of like, if you're, you know, on the light side, you have a blue saber. If you're on the dark side, you have a red saber. And then Luke has the only one that's different. He has a green one. You know, like it's special because, you know, he's the main character of.
Rey has a yellow one. Ahsoka has white. I mean, the Kyber crystals, there's a significance about why the Kyber crystals are like colors and things like that. Not going to go into that detail because guess what? I don't know.
talk to
my husband about that.
But like, you know, like obviously Mace Windu, I think his is purple. I know there's other colors. I get that.
That's because Samuel L. Jackson said, "I want a purple saber." He is the only one to have that.
That's fine. I just feel like Luke had the green one. He was the main character of the movies that built this whole empire.
Yeah.
You know, pun intended, I guess. So like they should have like saved that and made that special for him. Like starting with, you know, episode one, because I'm pretty sure in episode one or in one of those prequels, there's somebody with a green lightsaber. I don't remember exactly who.
Qui-Gon.
Oh, he has a green one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, because he's got a green one and then Obi-Wan has the blue one.
That's the blue. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't, my lightsaber knowledge is not strong. That's clear. but yeah, if you go to the chat, Michael has a thing. He went, says, do we want to know why Ahsoka has white lightsabers? Do you know that, Brittany?
So I kind of have a little bit of understanding when it comes down to the Kyber crystals, because I did ask John, my husband, why those who chose the dark side have red sabers. And it's basically because the Kyber crystals, they bend them to their will so much that they make them bleed. And that's why they're red. And so Mike's here is saying that Ahsoka defeated an Inquisitor, which we now have seen in Obi-Wan and even in this show as well, so this Inquisitor had a double-bladed weapon, and so she took the Kyber crystals and cleansed them, thus, you know, going from red to white. So
there we go. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Mike.
That makes sense.
But yeah, I mean, getting into... This is so funny because John really and Mike really probably should be here on the pod to talk all things Star Wars, because they have a wealth of knowledge when it comes to the lore and just like all the little intricacies of the Jedi Order and the fighting style. And like, because obviously Ahsoka fights with two sabers, you know, separately, right?
Right.
She'll wield one, you know, like holding a sword like you should. And then the other one's kind of like towards the back. And it's just her choice of fighting style. There's like 9 different fighting styles when it comes down to the Jedi Order. I'm not going to nerd out and talk about it because I don't know anything about it. Same thing goes with the Kyber crystals. There are reasons why they are different colors. So
yeah. I think the Kyber crystals, that's a place where I get off. That's my stop on the bus route or the train route or whatever. That's like too much.
A little too much.
Like, let's.
Also, how did Rey get a Kyber crystal when that planet was blown up? And how was she able to make her own saber? It's just bullshit. Sorry.
I don't have the answer.
Not a fan of the sequels. Sorry.
You know, obviously this series introduced me to a lot of characters. I'd heard their names, Ezra, you know. Mm-hmm. Obviously Sabine, I'd heard these characters' names, but I didn't know them, but it introduced me to some stuff that I did not know about at all. I mean, we had space whales, we had zombie stormtroopers that were reanimated. Like,
oh, that's great.
You know,
I laughed so hard with that, with the zombie stormtroopers. I'm like,
yeah.
Can they shoot better though?
It was kind of hokey the way they did that. I thought,
I laughed so hard.
I feel like it could have been a little cooler than the way it was done. But
and I think that comes from the comics, if I'm not mistaken. Like, there are,
they're like dark zombie troopers or something.
Yeah, something along those lines. And I'm like, seriously, we have zombie stormtroopers? This is incredible. But yeah, the space whales, like, okay.
Yeah, referred to as the Purgle. So what did you think about these like whales in space? Like, to me, that was also like, this is like bonkers. Like, from the Star Wars I grew up with to now there's like space whales. It just, you know what? One of my big problems with the Disney Plus stuff the last few years, I don't like when there are creatures involved. I just don't think the creatures,
this is rude.
No, like the creatures in Star Wars, they just don't look good. Like when I was a kid growing up watching these movies, yeah, everything was like practical and like,
yes, we know how you feel about the Ewoks.
I think the Ewoks are great. I freaking love the Ewoks. But the
Jawas,
I feel like,
too.
Yeah, the Jawas are great. Yeah. But to me, all these new like creatures and new, like even the aliens, they just don't look good in my mind. And it really kind of like, it kind of cheapens Star Wars to me when I see that stuff. The whales, now, in fairness to the whales, they looked fine. I'm just like, I don't really get it. Like, you have space whales. Like, that doesn't even make sense.
I mean,
anyway, yeah.
Whales, according to Mike, come from Rebels. Yeah. So this is new to us.
Yes.
Because we have not watched the animations, which is fine. But initially I'm like, okay, so where's Dory from Finding Nemo? Because she can speak whale. Like, are we going to do that? And that's the other thing about this show, too. And I know there's so much lore that goes on about the Force and the Jedi Order, et cetera, et cetera. Ahsoka tapping into certain aspects that I don't think we've seen before when the Force is being used, where she touched, like, the map. The broken orb map after Sabine was taken by Baylon and Morgan.
Yeah.
I keep saying Baylon like I'm talking about House of the Dragon. Sorry, I missed that show. But Ahsoka touches that map and she's like able to tell what happened during that scene or that battle. And she's like, I know where Sabine is. And it's like, wait, what? Like, what Aragorn, you know, a ranger kind of shit did this come from? Like, my mind was just blown. Okay. It was just crazy about that. And maybe there's something I'm missing when it comes down to like the books or comics or whatever the case may be. There were so many new, like, nuances that I am just not familiar with aside from the creatures, right? The sperm whales, listen to me, space whales. I was like, that is a real thing though. But I was like, okay, this is so like Noah's Ark, not Noah's Ark. What is it? It's from the Bible. Call me Ishmael, you know, Moby Dick. It's like, I'm making so many different references.
Yeah, the Meg. No, I'm kidding.
The Meg. Yeah, not the same creature. Not the same creature. But massive. Yes.
Yeah.
So the fact that, you know, we're getting that and Ahsoka's able to like communicate with them and say, take us to where you come from, blows my mind.
Yeah.
Blows my mind.
Yeah. My understanding of Star Wars doesn't jive with space whales. It just, to me, that was like,
what about sperm whales
in space or not? Just in general. Just
in general. Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was pretty strange.
I mean, I also want to know what happened to Sabine's cat fox thing. Like, she just kind of up and left it. I would never do that to my dog. Okay.
Of course not.
She just straight up left that animal. I'm like, did you leave food out for it? You know, is someone going to check in on the thing? Like, why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the characters we haven't talked about yet is played by Mary Elizabeth Winstead. And that's Hera. What did you think about this character? I don't think we saw a ton of her, to be honest. Is that fair? Or
the internet saw a ton and they were very content with what they saw from her. And that's her backside. Good Lord. She's also the wife to our very own Obi-Wan Kenobi, Ewan McGregor, which I guess we're all keeping it in the family.
My Obi-Wan Kenobi is Alec Guinness. Because
Yes. Alec Guinness is yes. But right. this more modern Obi-Wan, younger Obi-Wan. Yeah, she's his wife in real life. You know, another kind of deadpan sort of, she had a little bit more personality. She had a little bit more spunk to her because she's like a general. Yeah. She definitely does not like being told what she can and cannot do, even by the Senate, if you will. She had some words with that one senator who was kind of challenging everything that she had to say. And my God, I'm reading this chat from Mike, who said Hera was a badass. And yes, she has that badonkadonkadonk. Terrible.
I got to be honest. I didn't even notice because I didn't like, she wasn't on the screen a ton. Like, I feel like.
Because you only saw her backside.
I'd find the highlight cut of that on YouTube or something. Cause I didn't even really notice that. Cause.
Oh, goodness.
I feel like her scenes were pretty dull.
They're pretty short, pretty dull.
Yeah, they're pretty short, pretty dull. And there are always like other characters who she's meeting with or talking to. And it never felt like actual characters talking to each other. That was just kind of like, here's my line. You do your line. Yeah. This robot comes in. C-3PO came back in one of her scenes.
That was cool. Chopper, her droid is awesome, who I think used to be like an Imperial droid, if I'm not mistaken. I think he was in either Rebels or Clone Wars. I'm not sure. Love Chopper. Protect him at all costs. Also protect Hu Yang. I think David Tennant playing Hu Yang was brilliant. Like I said, the droids had a lot more personality than the live action actors. That's just the truth.
I agree.
So Mike says that Hera's species is known for being very sensual. Jabba the Hutt had a slave dancer from the same species. Yes,
I remember that character. Yeah.
Yep. I'm sure you do. but yeah, she, you know, I can appreciate a female general who, you know, doesn't take shit from anyone. And, but I need you to have a little bit more. I need you to give a little bit more. Like, she's got a son who is force sensitive as well. Her late husband was I believe a Jedi who had been killed.
Yeah.
Who had trained Ezra. Mm-hmm. And that's the other funny thing too. At the very end, when Ezra escapes on Thrawn's ship, he takes a stormtrooper's uniform, steals a ship, goes back to find Hera, you know, they meet. Mm-hmm. And it was just a very like, hey, I'm home. And she's just, you know, that's it. That was it. Like, it was so strange. I mean, for years you believe that this guy was dead. And it's just kind of like, hey.
No, I mean, we're kind of like making fun of it, but it really was like that. And that's the part we're talking about, like just lacking the emotion of like, you know, mm-hmm. these characters who are long lost. Like you think a reunion would be a big deal, but they just play it off like it's really not. And I don't know. I just have questions about all of that, you know, like, you know, they're reunited with, you know, Sabine, Ezra, and, mm-hmm. and Ahsoka reunited, and then they split off again. Like it's.
Well, apparently, according to Mike, it's not the first time that Ezra did anything like that. So she's kind of used to that sort of thing because it was done in Rebels. Okay, cool. Yeah. I mean, we've become desensitized to reuniting with people that we think maybe are dead. That's cool. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Just be like, get out of the way. I got things to do.
Speaking of Ezra, I wasn't familiar with the actor who played Ezra. His name is Amon Asfandi. I'd never heard of this actor before. Were you familiar at all?
Not at all. But I do love the internet for this because for years, people were using Obi-Wan from episode 2 as a Star Wars version of Jesus and it being put in people's homes. And it's kind of like we've got one version of Jesus and then like the actual maybe historical cultural version of Jesus. And that's Ezra, which is just hilarious to me.
What did you think about this actor's portrayal of Ezra? I mean, not that me and you know a ton about this character anyway, but I mean, obviously I think we see him in what episode 6, I believe is when he finally appears. Mm-hmm. What did you think about how he played the character and just the character kind of from what we got to see of the character?
Ezra is very strong with the Force. Mm. His involvement with fighting off, I don't know what those species were on the planet that he's been living on, but him not having to use a lightsaber to fight off people and he simply just used the Force was something, again, new. I didn't think that anyone could solely just use the Force to fight off someone. I was kind of hoping for like the Force speed run or whatever you call it. You know how like Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon in the very first episode or episode 1 like just took off running away from the droids. I was kind of expecting that, but I wasn't expecting him to actually just solely use the Force and like fight off the enemies, right? It's kind of impressive. Kind of, you know, it was different for me.
Yeah.
He had some comedic timing and whatnot, but that's pretty much all I could say about that. I mean, I didn't like the guy, I didn't hate the guy, but like I also just don't have the background like a lot of other people do to elaborate. So Mike says that he was spot on perfect as a grown-up version of Ezra. So hey, we also got McDorks here in the chat. Hola. Thank you for joining. Appreciate it. Apparently we love Ezra. Felix who? Christian, don't do that to me. I love me some Felix. That's a different story for a different pod.
I was lost. I'm like, I don't see a Felix on the
sheet.
I don't see a Felix in Star Wars.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. Mike says that he, Ezra, was never that good with the lightsaber to begin with. His lightsaber was actually a combination of a blaster / lightsaber. The hilt of the lightsaber was like a blaster. He used that more. Okay. That's interesting. That's very interesting. And we do get to see Ezra reconstruct a lightsaber, which was kind of cool. That was kind of cool to see that be done like in front of us.
Yeah. And that's like Huang's or who, how do you say his name?
Huyang.
That's like his main function as a droid. He's a lightsaber crafting droid. So
got a witty sense of not humor necessarily, but he's quick with it. He's quick with it. I love it.
Yeah.
The droids are done very well in these shows. I will admit. Like even the one that was in The Mandalorian that was voiced by Taika Waititi. I think he was cool, you know?
Yeah. No, that was something 11.
What was his TK. Name? I don't know. AK-47. I don't know. It was something lethal.
Yeah.
You know. And then Grogu being able to use the body as like a vessel so he can walk around and say, yes, 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 no, 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 no. It's just, I love it. Sure. But yes, Mike, Chopper does have a potty mouth. Who has the bigger potty mouth, Chopper or R2-D2?
Good question.
These are life-changing questions. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I really like Chopper. Chopper had a lot of personality, and it's just kind of like, what the F, you know, what are we doing? Are you sure? You know, it's just, Chopper's great. Love Chopper. Christian says Chopper has a bigger potty mouth. I agree. I agree.
I don't know, honestly.
You know, one character we have yet to touch on at all is Shin Hati, who appears to be Balin Skull's apprentice.
Right.
Padawan thing.
Yeah.
What did you think about her and her performance?
I was confused by the character constantly because you feel like from the start, obviously she's like the most evil character. Like in the first, what is it? The first 5 minutes, her and Balin just take out these people with lightsabers. And
yeah,
you know, she definitely has the evil eye. You know, you can see it in her face, but then as the series or the season progresses, like you're waiting for her to like have a face turn, become a good guy. Mm-hmm. And even there's one part where, she's, you know, battling with Ahsoka and Ezra and Sabine, and basically Ahsoka like offers, you know, to have her, join up or help her out, and she doesn't do it. Yeah, I don't know. It was kind of where we left off with her. I'm not really sure what's next for that character, if there is something next for that character.
So Mike here says, I think she's conflicted and she really hasn't decided which side she wants to be part of. And I think that's true just because of different instances after she meets Thrawn and how Thrawn is treating them.
Yeah.
And how he sends Sabine off to go find Ezra. And then he's going to send Balin and Shin Hati to go after her to like kill them all. And it's kind of like, hey, if you're not back in time, we're going to leave without you. So peace out kind of situation, right? So I think she's being conflicted is definitely a good way to describe her character. Mm-hmm. Now, I do want to read something I saw on Instagram that I thought was really interesting. And it kind of ties into, I think, some other interests from Dave Filoni outside of Star Wars. So apparently he's into like wolves. He really likes wolves. And we do have some wolf-like characters. creatures in this series. So according to what I'm about to read from Instagram, it says in Norse mythology, Skull, Balin's last name, is a wolf that chases the sun, and Hati is a warg that chases the moon. Both are the sons of the wolf Fenrir, which is what we've seen in Thor. In the old Norse religion, it is foretold the wolves will choose or chase the sun and moon across the skies until Ragnarok. At which point the wolves catch up and devour the celestial beings. We now saw Balin Skull and Shin Hati get separated by different paths. So perhaps it's suggesting that one's going to choose the dark and the other's going to choose the light.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so maybe she will turn. But I think she's going to have to go through some struggles because it looks like she's recruiting those poacher enemies that we saw Ahsoka and them like fight off earlier. But is she going to go after Ahsoka and Sabine who are left on the planet, or is she going to go after Balin?
Good question.
Yeah. So, Mike says, Thrawn, I think you mean Thrawn, sent the two of them off so that he could buy some time to load up his cargo, which I believe are dead stormtroopers, which will be revived on Dathomir. Yeah, we'll cover that in a little bit. But yeah, it was interesting to see Shin Hati, who almost seemed very dedicated to the cause until she met the person that they're here to get. And she's like, maybe not after all. Maybe not after all. So But it's curious, even with Baylan at the very end, which is a really cool shot, you know, of the late Ray Stevenson. He's standing on the hand of some sort of statue. And I think you have the name of what the statue or statues represent, which are is it the Morse gods?
Mortis gods.
Again, not knowing anything about anything, y'all, but what little research and talking I've done, you know, I find out that there were three to consider. Actually, there's four. There is the father, the mother, the daughter, and the son. The father is like balance between the dark and the light. The daughter is the light, and the son is the dark. The mother, I think, had sacrificed herself to save somebody. Sorry, y'all. I'm not an expert when it comes down to stuff like this. I'm just not. But yeah, so I think with the significance of the father, the son, and the daughter, we're going to see that represented by probably Baylan, Ahsoka, and Thrawn, maybe being the son, because Thrawn is pretty evil, even though he's not. I don't think it's like it has to be earmarked for people who are force sensitive. I think it's just the characters in general, you know, because we see. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying Thrawn has no force powers, right? He's not.
I think he's solely military minded.
Okay.
Which raises the question, why the hell, after he loaded up his cargo, why would he want to waste time to kill Ahsoka and company?
Yeah.
It just, like, I understand, because once he learned who Ahsoka's master was, he's like, okay, I'm not going to underestimate her again. They all thought that she originally was dead. She's not. She's alive. She's good, right? She's here. So I understand him not wanting to underestimate her, but at the same time, why waste so much time and resources to eliminate her? Like, why didn't you just do it from the get-go, like with Sabine and them? I don't know. Didn't make any sense to me.
There would be no show. That's the answer.
Well, that's very true. That's the answer.
You know, one thing I want to point out that I really thought was great about the show was the titles of the episodes. There's some banger titles.
They're good. Yeah.
The first episode was Master and Apprentice. The second episode, Toil and Trouble. That was kind of good. Episode 4, Fallen Jedi, which, you know, that's a cool title. Mm-hmm. Episode 5, Shadow Warrior.
Which was the best episode.
Yeah. Episode 7, Dreams and Madness. And then the finale, The Jedi, the Witch, and the Warlord. Like,
also known as The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Right. Which I think that's what everyone thought of when we saw the title for it. So I give them credit on the titles. The titles were pretty solid.
Yeah, they were good. I mean, the show, and I know this is something that we've talked about, Justin, with other Star Wars shows.
Yeah.
How did this visually appeal to you as opposed to Mandalorian, Boba Fett, Obi-Wan?
Definitely it looked better than Obi-Wan. I thought Obi-Wan looked the worst of all of them. But I still don't think like this volume setting that they use, it has limitations. And
yes,
I really feel like these shows are hurt by that. And now, granted, that volume, you know, this, you know, soundstage with all these like, you know, LED screens and everything, it allows them to do a lot of cool things.
Sure.
But I think it also is very like seductive to where they like, they feel like they're beholden to it. It's like, I think it's not only become like, it's not just become a tool on that can help them. It's become the way to do it. And
this is the way,
right? This is the way. And I think that after a while, like when it's not done well, like for example, The Batman is a movie that used the volume quite a bit. And I don't know that many people would notice that, because that movie looks really good. That's a long movie. Mm-hmm. It's got, I mean, it's a struggle to get through.
Oh my God.
Sometimes I, But I mean,
that sometimes
movie looks, that movie looks phenomenal. And yeah, there was many scenes that were shot in a volume like setting.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like with Star Wars, it's more noticeable. And it just, it does kind of take me out of it, you know, like I mm-hmm. said, but also like I mentioned before, the creatures and the alien characters, they just don't look as good as I think they should. And to me, it's like, I wouldn't even have those things in this show. I would focus on, I think everybody likes Jedis. We like lightsabers. We like stormtroopers. We like blasters. We like the core Star Wars stuff. Like, give me more of that. And something else that I've noticed in these shows is the fact that you don't get the sounds of Star Wars in these shows. Now you do get like lightsaber sounds and blaster sounds, but I'm talking about like John Williams score. You don't get that in these shows. And I can understand where it's like, well, we want to have our own thing, but yeah, like if you want it to be Star Wars, you have to make it sound like Star Wars. And I do think that there are moments in these shows where if you had a bed of his music playing underneath, it would enhance the feel of the episode. I really believe sure. that. I feel like that's no. sorely missing in all of these shows, but to me, this one especially, like, and there are some moments where they do kind of like play little cues of like, you know, the music from, you know, the
Force, well, like, or whatever. 3PO when he came right. back on screen, he has like a little, like right. A little, what do you call it? Not theme, but you get that.
Yeah, he has
that,
like a little. Yeah, you're right. He has like a little theme. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like,
I mean, but I get it, because the fact I'm going to liken that to Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon. I think we were all kind of anticipating that House of the Dragon would have a different theme, even though they're using the same composer of Ramin yeah. Djawadi, but it's the same theme as Game of Thrones,
because that sounds like Game of Thrones, and then people
exactly
like, it gets people exactly. into the Game of Thrones feeling. And I feel like Star Wars,
but more
like,
importantly, you have the same composer who, right, who right. may take variations and arrangements from Game of Thrones, but then adapt right. it to make it something special just for House of the Dragon, like a Rhaenyra's theme, what have you. We have a Luke theme, we have a Han Solo theme, we have a Darth Vader theme. Duel of the Fates is in a class of its own. I don't think anyone should ever touch that one ever again, because that one's just fucking amazing, right?
No, but they did bring it back for Obi-Wan. They brought it back for the trailer for Obi-Wan. Remember, like,
I know. So, yeah. But what I'm saying is, don't take that and then rearrange it. What I'm saying is, leave it as is. Like, yeah. don't touch it. Okay. But I just personally feel, because he's still here with us, as long as we still have him and as long as he's still willing to do work for Star Wars, get John Williams to compose the music. I mean, it's brilliant. It's just brilliant.
Just use the music he's already created, because that is the sound of Star Wars. I feel like
I'm sure there's limitations to it, but yes, I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, you can't do it the whole time, but I feel like there are moments that would be enhanced by having that music. So
yeah, no, I agree.
That's something that it always bothers me about these shows. I feel like they should, like, it's like, hey, you're a Star Wars show. Sound like a Star Wars show.
Yeah, I understand it. Trisha is here in the chat. Trisha, aka the Texas Potterhead. So happy to see you or hear from you. I know it's been a minute. Thank you so much for joining us. I miss you too. Love, 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 love. We appreciate you being here. Yeah, we've been talking about Ahsoka here. Love to hear your thoughts about the show. And was this a hit or miss? And did you watch Clone Wars and Rebels prior to Ahsoka? Because Justin and I haven't. And honestly, we kind of were not entirely impressed. Sorry. Not sorry. But yeah, I mean, overall, the show is mid at best. I really do feel that the fifth episode with Ahsoka and Anakin and dealing with their struggles and whatnot was the best episode in this whole season series. We'll see how this goes. But Justin, I'm curious, because we brought it up a couple of times about Ray Stevenson and the cliffhanger that is Baylan Skoll's sort of storyline. Are they going to continue with it? Are they going to have to pivot? Or are they going to have to recast? Because I don't think anyone's really ever been recast in Star Wars.
Wow, that's a good point. I can't think of anybody who's been. I mean, obviously, we've seen a younger version of Han Solo. That was a different actor, of course.
Right, it's a prequel.
Right, and of course we saw that with Obi-Wan also. Yeah. Wow, it's a good. Yeah, I don't know. They never really. I guess they never had to do that. So that's.
I think with Carrie Fisher in the last movie, she died. I think was right. It before or during. And
I think she died before what's the eighth movie called?
Crap.
Everybody Hates It. No.
Rise of Skywalker.
No, that's the ninth movie. The eighth movie Jedi. It's got Jedi in the title.
The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi, yeah.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is they had a stand-in. I think they had her daughter standing in because her daughter's been in the sequels. They had a stand-in, but they used that AI, facial recognition technology to keep her character alive, if you will, until spoilers, she wasn't. But they never did a recast. You know, how do you recast Princess Leia, for God's sakes? Yeah. So granted, Baylan Skoll's character is not nearly as big as, let's say, Princess Leia. By the way, she was also mentioned in this series, Senator or General Organa, which I thought was kind of cool. I'm like, oh yeah, she's still alive in this time, even though we didn't see her. But yeah, I think this would potentially be the first time that they had to recast a Star Wars actor.
And I think they will. I think they need to. Otherwise, like if you just drop that storyline, I think that's a. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't that the last shot of the season?
It's kind of like Lord of the Rings. It had like many endings, if you will, because Thrawn is approaching Dathomir, which we'll talk about in a moment. Ezra's reunited with Hera. I think actually the end was of Anakin in ghost
form. Right. Okay, that's it. Form. Yeah.
Because Sabine and Ahsoka are looking out to the sky, and Sabine thinks that maybe she sees something, she's not sure, but Ahsoka certainly does. Ahsoka can see Anakin, watching her.
Yeah.
And I think that's the end scene the season.
But you mentioned with that Baylan Skoll, he's on this mountain and there's a statue of these Mortis gods. So, I mean, clearly that was going somewhere. And so,
yeah,
I think they'll have to recast.
Yeah. Ray Stevenson was cool with his fight scenes. Granted, he probably didn't do all of it. I mean, what actor really does? But it was cool. It's cool to see him wield a lightsaber and to kind of be a badass, dark.
Yeah, I feel like the villain fight scenes were better than the light side. Like the battles later on in the season are not well choreographed, I didn't think. Like,
yeah, Trisha agrees. The fight scene in the last episode was.
Yeah. I mean, the last episode itself, we mentioned like how, 4, 5, and 6 were pretty good episodes. And then episode 7 was pretty all over the place. Like it was kind of it wasn't, obviously it's not the worst Disney Plus finale for a show, whether it be Marvel or Star Wars, but it was very, very uneven.
The finale to me should have been a penultimate. The finale to me, and now I want to transition talking about like Thrawn bringing what he's bringing to Dathomir with the mothers, great mothers, right? Which John was very happy to see that they happened to look more like what their characters were in the animation. Morgan is a descendant of the same sort of race, if you will, which happens to be the same race as Darth Maul. But from where they're from, it's the women or the witches that rule the planet. I know very little about this stuff, guys.
I've heard witches get stitches, though. I don't know if that's true in the Star Wars universe.
They do, but okay. Morgan got way more than stitches. She got sliced in half. That was kind of cool. I like that sword that she got, and I wonder if Ahsoka's going to use it because she's down one lightsaber. So I wonder if she's going to try to wield it. But with Thrawn approaching Dathomir with the Great Mothers and presumably the corpses, if they went into another episode to be the finale of him or the Great Mothers having raised this like zombie like army or something, then that's a great cliffhanger to end on, because now it's like, oh, now we've got some shit that's about to happen. And how are Ahsoka and Sabine gonna, you know, get off this planet? Because now it just seems like, okay, well, we're here, we're just gonna settle and hang out with the turtle people and, you know, live life. Okay, like we've just accepted defeat and that's it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I'm curious. Like, it seems like it, obviously it sets up something going forward, but I don't know that necessarily is going to be a season two. It might just be a part of this Filoni-verse movie that I mentioned earlier that
maybe
is going to culminate, you know, The Mandalorian, The Book of Boba Fett, which I made The Book of Boba Fett has already been culminated by The Mandalorian.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, but it's all leading up to this movie that Filoni's going to do, apparently. So, yeah.
Sure,
I feel like, I feel like after episode 7, it felt like, okay, this is, you know, this is going somewhere. And then episode 8, they resolved everything. And then they kind of left it where it was kind of open-ended, where it's like, that could be the final episode of her story, or it could just be the ending point for now. And then we'll pick it up next season, or pick it up in another show. Sure. Or, yeah, exactly.
Sure. I mean, you mentioned or you asked earlier about this show being called Ahsoka, and it didn't really seem like Ahsoka was like the main protagonist. I mean, there was one episode where she literally was just in the intro and then that was it. Like she was not seen again for the rest of the episode. So I don't know. Interesting storytelling direction choice.
But that's kind of what this current Star Wars fair has looked like. I mean, think about the Book of Boba Fett. Weren't there two episodes without Boba Fett in that? I mean,
I don't know about Luke Skywalker.
I think the episode Luke Skywalker. I don't think Boba Fett was even in the episode.
I don't know, but the fact that they brought in the Mandalorian into Boba Fett, and it's like, oh, this is a Mandalorian 2.5.
Exactly.
You know, season 2.5. Right. Like that was wild. Like for them to pivot and do that. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, this is how we're gonna save the series. We're gonna bring in, you know, the Mandalorian and Grogu, and it's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine, you know.
And maybe that was what, you know, I was mentioning this movie that they're apparently working toward. That might have been the directive, is to let's try to, you know, MCU this thing, and let's put let's put these characters, like, let's fit them in. Even if they don't fit, let's put them in there and, like, you know, kind of tell this story, this big, you know, winding story over multiple series or something.
I guess. Trisha says that the last episode definitely left you wanting more, but not in a good way.
Yeah, I agree. I
agree with that too. And Geeking Out with Melly Mel has entered the chat. Hey, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate you being here. Mike also says that when you have read as many Star Wars books, both canon and legend, as I have, this becomes a normal thing. Nothing is linear. It's all over the place. It's great stuff. Okay.
Yeah. No, I can understand. I mean, like, obviously his fandom is much, you know, he's stronger with the Force than
with Force. Yeah.
Yeah. He is. But I do think that once Star Wars gets this part of the story worked out and they've kind of mined it for all that they want to.
Yeah.
I really think that, like, going forward, after, now that, you know, we have the sequel movies are done, and apparently they're planning some kind of Rey movie that's going to be set after the sequel movies. I think going forward is what Star Wars, like, that's what they really need to focus on. And I think they're kind of afraid to do that. You know, I think they know, like,
maybe,
hey, those three movies that came out in the late 70s, early 80s, that was the stuff, right? Like, that was the real good stuff.
Yeah.
And so we want to kind of, like, have, like, you know, our tentacles still attached to that, and, you know, to be able to draw back on those characters and all that kind of stuff, the nostalgia. Yeah. And I think that, like, you know, the future of Star Wars, they've got to figure it out. I think that's a scary proposition for them, honestly.
It really is, because, like, you, growing up, all we had up until a certain point were episodes 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mind episode 1. I don't care for episode two. I'm okay with episode three because I think everyone wanted to see how Anakin got into the suit, like, and how he became Vader, right? I think that was just like a must that people needed to see, you know, but it's now gotten a lot bigger. See, my brother and I we're so like-minded. It's crazy. The Star Wars universe is a lot bigger than you could possibly imagine. I mean, I think it's definitely grown to a point where maybe we're trying to tell too much and we can't make it fit and make it make sense.
That's why I think like tell your own story. Like,
yeah.
You know, like I am interested to see. So Zack Snyder has a movie coming out in December. It's called Rebel Moon. And it was originally, originally he pitched this idea to Star Wars. He wanted to be a Star Wars movie. And it was going to be an original story with original characters. And there may have been, you know, some tie in to the Star Wars movies that had come before it,
right.
But it was going to be basically a new slate, and they weren't interested in it. And now it's going to be on Netflix. And I mean, I'm not a huge Zack Snyder fan by any means, but I do think it's interesting to take something like that we're familiar with, but then go in a different direction. And it will be in a different direction than Star Wars. So I'm kind of interested to see, because like he's blazing a new trail, but if you watch the trailer for that movie, there's a lot of Star Wars stuff in this non-Star Wars movie. But I do like the idea of like, let's try something different. Let's don't just keep rehashing the same story.
Right.
Let's build something new. And so
yeah,
I'm actually looking forward to whatever they do after the sequel series and, you know, going forward and just like, hey, tell a story, tell a more self-contained story rather than trying to draw back on all these different parts of the timeline. Because the timeline is confusing.
Yeah, it is. And you know, what's interesting too, and I'm listening to you reading what we have here in the comments and thinking about the Tron book trilogy that my brother is a huge fan of, especially when we went to Comicpalooza back in 2019 here in Houston. Yeah. The author of the Thrawn book series, Timothy Zahn, sorry if I'm mispronouncing Zahn, it,
yeah,
was there, and my brother got to meet him, got him the new book and what have you. Really cool, like just awesome, you know, especially yeah, if you're into that fandom, right? And I think if they wanted to kind of tell their own story in a way, but still relate it to that of Star Wars, it would have been solely about Thrawn. And I know nothing about Thrawn, yeah, right? I know he made his appearance in the animations and whatnot, but like, I think that would be a really cool story to tell. And if I'm not mistaken, the author of the Tron trilogy was not aware that they were using possibly some of his storylines or what was written in the books as part of what may happen in Dave Filoni's universe. So it's kind of a step that, you know, he's not getting his dues.
Well, when Disney purchased Star Wars, they made certain stuff canon and certain stuff wasn't.
Right.
And the Thrawn stuff, I don't think was canon. They made it, yeah, no longer. But now I guess it has become canon because Filoni put Thrawn into Rebels and obviously exactly, into Ahsoka.
Yeah.
But I did listen to the first audiobook of I think Heir to the Empire was the one I listened to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was good, but I liked it because it was just a continuation after Return of the Jedi. What happens with these characters? Luke's in there, Chewbacca's in there, Han Solo, mm-hmm, Leia. It's all my favorite characters. They're still having adventures. I like that part. I mean, that's why I like The Mandalorian, because they brought back Luke Skywalker. I mean, it was kind of
An epic way of bringing Luke back.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funky the way, you know, the way they did it with his face and stuff and
right.
All the AI kind of stuff or whatever.
It's still cool.
Yeah, still cool. But see, that's what I want more of is that kind of stuff. But at this point, we're kind of too far unless you just like recast and like redo everything. Which they may end up doing one day. I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. If they just like started over, much like how, you know, you love Harry Potter, their HBO a little bit, I think. Max is going to have a Harry Potter series where they're going to rehash the movies that we've been reviewing this year.
Well, not so much the movies as they're supposedly going to stay true to the books, which I have a lot of concerns about.
Right. But I mean, they're going to have a new Harry Potter. They're going to have a new Hermione. They're going to have a new Ron. Like, all these characters that we loved are going to be recast. And, yeah, you know, obviously younger people are going to take those spots and they're going to do the story over again. They're going to obviously add different things or things that are in the book that are in the movies, but you're going to get the same overall. It's going to be the same story, right?
I mean, Harry's going to have to
take out Voldemort, right? Yeah. So we know what's how it's going to end.
Not so shocking.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Trisha here says that for me, I feel like they are catering to the base. I always feel like I have to do research as a casual fan before I watch one of these Star Wars series. Like, where in the timeline is this? What happened, et cetera? Yeah. And that's kind of, you know, where we are too. Trisha, like Justin and I at the top of the show, we talked about the timeline. Had a really cool graphic, courtesy of Reddit, that kind of showed where we are when it comes to Clone Wars, Rebels, and then of course with Ahsoka and whatnot. It's a lot. It truly is a lot to keep up with. And like my brother Mike's been saying here in the chat, there's Star Wars universe is just so much bigger than what we could possibly imagine.
Yeah, the bouncing around though is the problem I have with it, because I mean, obviously, I'm a much bigger fan of the MCU than I am Star Wars now. And people, you know, all we ever hear about is superhero fatigue. And I think the truth is people, the fad, it's no longer a fad, right? Like now it's the people who go see these movies, they go see them because they like the characters. They like superheroes, right? But the one that I would say about the MCU is they're telling their story. They're moving forward. They're not going backwards. And like, you know, like it's not like we're going to have like a Iron Man 2.5 movie coming out in 2 years. And then we're going to have like Avengers 7 or, you know what I'm saying? Like they're constantly going forward. So as much, you know, as consternation as there is about the MCU, and oh, there's so much stuff and you have to watch everything to know what's going on. And you know, you kind of do,
yeah.
At least they're not asking you to go, hey, remember 10 years before Endgame? Well, now after that, we're going to do a movie where it's 15 years after Endgame. And like, you know,
or
like,
we're going to retcon something that happened.
Exactly. Like
what they're doing with Fast and Furious. Good Lord.
Okay. Well, no, let's not bring the Fast franchise into this. Because
I know that's very sensitive.
Not deserve any straights. That is a perfect franchise that we all know.
I hate you. Makes so much.
Help. Fast and Furious referenced Star Wars and F9 a lot.
Oh, God.
Almost
the TIE Fighter.
Kind of weird. Yeah.
Yeah, that was very weird. Spoilers, y'all.
But I will always love Star Wars because of, obviously, the three movies when I was a kid, you know,
and New Hope, Ewoks.
And the Ewoks. Yeah, I'll always love that stuff. But I got to say, as we keep going down the road, I'm less of a Star Wars fan every day.
Mm.
Yeah,
that's very sad. It's very, very sad.
But you know what? I'm excited for the people that love it, like your brother. There's tons of people that love, you know, all the animated stuff. And I think it's really cool. Have at it. Like it's, yeah, obviously Star Wars.
It's a moneymaker. Yeah, we get it.
It's not my thing. I don't own the IP. It's not my deal. So I'm happy other people are happy. But all in all, I'm just not as big of a fan of this stuff as I used to be. So
Mike says that what he loves about Dave Filoni and his willingness to tell the story the way it's supposed to be told. There's so much source material out there to keep Star Wars going on forever. That's that's fair enough statement. Trisha is always reminded about you when it comes down to the fast franchise, and you have officially been fired by my brother.
Let me finish the pod first. We don't have too much longer to go.
Yeah. We have a new question and guest in the chat. Appreciate you being here. Who asked, do you think we will ever get to see Hayden as Anakin again?
Yes.
My answer is yes. I don't think this will be the last time we see Hayden in as Anakin, especially if they do come back with a season two for Ahsoka. She did mention and she said that she had recordings of Anakin and there were like 19 more. So I'm pretty sure this is not going to be the last. And the fact that he appeared in ghost form. I definitely don't think this is the last time we'll see
him. We've seen a lot of him as Anakin lately because in the Obi-Wan series, he was in the Obi-Wan series.
I'm not mad about that.
And I don't think they've officially like said for sure that there's not going to be a season two of Obi-Wan, which to me, I don't think there should be, but there definitely could be. So I would think that if there is
a season, little girl again, I'm going to be so annoyed.
Well, she's going to have to be a little bit older, I would think. But I would think that if there is a season two of Obi-Wan, we'll have to see Hayden back as Vader. Mm-hmm. And same thing, you're right. First, if there is a season two of Ahsoka, or certainly whenever this Filoni-verse movie is made, mm-hmm. you'll see a Force Ghost version of Space Whale. Yeah, I'm all over the place. No, you'll see a Force Ghost version of Anakin, or yeah, Hayden Christensen as Anakin, for sure. I mean,
because it's obviously something that, like, Jedi, some at least, have been able to tap into and be able to communicate with their Padawans or their former Padawans, right? We saw that at the very end of Obi-Wan with Qui-Gon, which I was actually kind of excited to see because I absolutely love Liam Neeson as Qui-Gon. Yeah. We obviously saw it at the very end of Return of the Jedi with, you know, Yoda, Obi-Wan, and Sebastian Shaw was done dirty when they replaced him as Anakin, you know, with Hayden Christensen, you know, after the prequels came out. But yeah, so we've seen it done several times. Yoda appeared to Luke in Last Jedi. So yeah, this is not going to be the last time we see Anakin like this. So Trisha wants to talk about the turtle people, and they are the best. Mike wants to know about, what do you think about space penguins? I think you're talking about the porgs, Mike. I hope you're talking about the porgs, which were in the Last Jedi, I think.
I'm very excited about the Penguin series that's going to be on Max, featuring
Colin Farrell.
Yeah, continuing that character from the Batman. Cool. But no, as far as space penguins, I'm not familiar.
Yeah. The turtle people, the Naki, I think they were called.
They're naughty? Was it?
Not, you know, naughty. What is wrong with you?
No, I think, wasn't it N-O-T-I? Am I wrong?
I thought it was with a K, but whatever.
Look it up.
Nice people, or creatures, turtle things. They were cute. I mean, they seemed like a very peaceful civilization, and, you know, definitely don't get into any fights. I like them fine. They're okay.
N-O-T-I. Sure. So how do you pronounce it?
Naughty? Sure. We'll go with that. we'll go with that.
They said their, I mean, I think Ezra said their name a couple of times, but.
Yeah, I think you're right. He did. Yeah, for sure he did. Another question. According to you, which of the series has the possibility to come next? Ahsoka season 2, Obi-Wan season 2, or Anakin Skywalker season 1? Oh, man. I'm not sure how an Anakin Skywalker season could be done. I mean, would that be in between episodes 1 and 2, 2 and 3? Because that's technically what Clone Wars and Rebels were. Not sure. I don't know what we'll get first. Truth be told, I don't think I want an Obi-Wan season 2 just because was not impressed, which is really sad.
I think the most likely is Ahsoka season 2.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Probably. It's kind of been revered as like the best Star Wars series to date. So
really? People like it more than The Mandalorian?
I think so. I personally like The Mandalorian better, but
yeah, you know. I think that's recency bias, because think about The Mandalorian. Like, The Mandalorian gave us Baby Yoda. Like, nothing in
Pedro
Ahsoka,
Pascal, hello, Poppy.
I know, but nothing from Ahsoka was as culturally relevant as Baby Yoda. Come on.
Yeah, Baby Yoda's freaking amazing.
Like, people are going to be talking about Baby Yoda 100 years from now. No one's going to mention Ahsoka.
Did you see on, I think it was on Twitter, where there's a possibility that Baby Yoda saw the space wells that possibly had Ahsoka and Hu Yang in its mouth as they were, like, in The Mandalorian, as they were, like, hyperspeed, whatever you call that. Like, there's a moment where we'll see Grogu kind of, like, look out the window, and he sees, like, kind of a shadowy sort of figure as they're racing through space, and some people are suggesting it's the space whale with Ahsoka in it, because they are in the same timeline. It's very possible, but I'll have to show you the picture later. But yeah,
I think it's possible.
It's possible. Anything. I mean, they believe that he was dead for hundreds of years.
That's brutal. Yeah, no, I mean, don't get me wrong. I didn't love Ahsoka, but I like Ahsoka much more than what you're talking about. So
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's for damn sure. So Trisha wants to know if the zombie troopers reminded anyone of Dry Bones from Mario.
Yeah, that's a good call by Trisha there. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, the zombie troopers, all we needed was like you know, like some like cheesy like Halloween music playing whenever they were reanimated.
I swear I laughed so hard when I saw that. I'm like, no. I mean,
it's a cool idea. I just think
is it though?
No, I mean it's kind of cool, but it's also, you're right. Does that make them shoot better? Or they have a better aim after they're, you know, the undead zombie or the undead stormtrooper is a better trooper, maybe?
I don't know.
Maybe really Marvel Zombies meets Stormtroopers. That's the next Disney Plus crossover event.
That would be incredible.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
So I think we're about to wrap this up, Brittany. Yeah. Now that y'all all know what we think about Ahsoka, we want to know what you think about it. And Brittany, how can people tell us what they think about this wonderful show, Ahsoka?
I mean, who knew we get like so much engagement with today's show? That's been awesome. So shout out to Mike, my brother, for joining us. Trisha, aka the Texas Potterhead. I'm going to just say your last name, Malik. I apologize because I don't want to butcher your name. We appreciate you being here and asking us questions. Also, geeking out with Melly Mel and McDorks. We appreciate y'all all being here and talking Star Wars with us, Ahsoka. So that's the best way to get in touch with us. Let us know your thoughts about what we're reviewing and whatnot. But we also ask everyone to please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We are currently at 280 subscribers. We're trying to make it to 300 by the end of 2023. So help make that happen. Subscribe, like this video, also hit that notification bell. That way you know the next time we will be going live, which Justin is tomorrow.
Exactly. Actually, check the comments, Brittany. Our latest comment is about tomorrow's show.
It's a great tie-in.
Yeah, perfect timing. Yeah, tomorrow we're talking about the season one premiere, or season one, the season two premiere of Loki.
God.
Hey, there's a lot of time splitting and time travel, so maybe I went back in the past. Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
Like, you know, constantly like split, you know, whatever. So yeah, so tomorrow we will be reviewing season two, episode one of Loki. So check that out.
Yeah. So again, subscribe, hit that notification bell, like this video. You can also follow the Watchers in the Basement over on social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, /X, Instagram, and newly Threads. That's right. We're on Threads. So be sure to follow us once again at Watchers Basement. And you can also use the hashtag Watchers Basement to help grow our audience. Use that hashtag when you want to send us memes, articles, things that you want us to review. We would love for you to help us out and take part in the conversations. And if video podcasts are not your thing, which is totally fine, we've got you covered. We have audio podcasts available to you next day after the video podcast premieres or live streams on Apple, Google, and Spotify. So subscribe to all of those platforms. Give us a 5-star rating. It will help us out immensely. And hopefully you tell others about us, because I think we're pretty cool. I think we're a pretty good podcast and we have a lot of fun. There's a lot more members than what we, you know, Justin and me today. But so come back, check out our past podcasts and the future ones as well.
Yeah. Thanks, Brittany. Really appreciate it. So for Brittany, I'm Justin saying thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Have a good night. And may the force be with you.
Always.
We'll see you next time. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.